All right, 4 o'clock. So we'll call this meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustment to order. Roll call.
McGill.
Here.
Scarlett.
Here.
Youngberg absent. Brecky.
Here.
Friends.
Here.
All right, board, in front of you have the minutes from the previous meeting. Look those over. Do I hear any changes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
So moved.
There's
second.
Motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Minutes stand as presented. Going forward here, public comments just to how we're going to run the meeting. Some of you have been here before, so you've got an idea on how we do this. We'll take any public comments on any option, any issue that is not on the board agenda this evening, and we'll take those under review. Then after that, if there are none, then we'll move into our CUP requests. And we'll review those. First, we'll have the staff present it and any comments by the applicant. Then we'll move forward any comments from the public, and we'll have rebuttals. And at the end of that, then we'll sit down here and we'll deliver, and we will determine what we're going to do with the request. So based on that, looking at the number, I would also ask that you keep your comments to 10 minutes. So that we can kind of keep the meeting moving along. So, on that note, do I hear any public comments on anything besides what's in front of us tonight? Hearing none, we will move into our first request. I guess it's basically a discussion and consideration of CUP 07-17, One Cap Adaptive Reuse, Shipley Schoolhouse. Terry, you're up.
So this was a request that was tabled from last meeting. It is, like you said, Steve, property owner, Swanda Camp. She's the applicant. She lives at 25922 595th Avenue, which is the subject property. It is just to the, well, not just. It is southwest of Nevada and southeast of Ames in Shipley, a rural unincorporated village. So again, just some background on how this case has come to be before you tonight. At the July 5th, 2017 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, they recommended approval unanimously with conditions of this request. It came to you at your July 19th, 2017 meeting, the last meeting. You remanded the proposal and requested more information, specifically requested information regarding the compatibility review. Can you hear me now? Okay. Specifically, you requested information regarding the compatibility of the request and asked the applicant to reevaluate how it was compatible with the surrounding area. Since then, the applicant has amended the request to 5 units from the originally requested 14 units. So now we have a request for a conditional use permit for the adaptive reuse of the Shipley Schoolhouse as a multifamily dwelling, so rental units. That would be 5 units available to rent. Some information on the configuration of those units. They would have a shared kitchen and bathroom facilities. Separate units would be separate, like sleeping quarters. The intended renters are graduate students, and the applicant will maintain residence on the property while there are renters there. So it's their permanent residence. This is an aerial view of the site. You can see that the property is located along Center Street in Shipley and 595th Avenue. This is the school, and there was an addition put on the school in 1937. So this is the original 1916 school where the units will be located. These two are connected here. So looking at the zoning and surrounding land use, again, we're in the rural village of Shipley. There are 6 single-family dwellings in this approximate area. Here is the subject property or the school. The school is zoned A1 agricultural, south of Center Street. Most of the properties are zoned R1 residential, with the exception of this commercial light industrial area where a dwelling is actually located. Here is the site plan of the school. So here are the school buildings. What I want to point out here is this is the parking area, which we'll get into, that is in the Center Street right-of-way. So there are 16 spaces, one ADA space. There is a drive that goes north on the property. Here is another parking area with 8 spaces and an ADA space. The drive extends down here to have another entrance onto 595th. The applicant has proposed landscaping to meet the county's landscaping requirements, so there will be grasses planted here, as well as to the north of this parking area to provide screening, as well as stormwater and erosion control as required by our ordinance. This is the interior plan of the unit. So again, there are 5 units now. Unit 1 will be a large unit. Two previous units adjoined. There's unit 2 and 3, 4, and 5. The 6 units from the previous proposal will be used for storage. Here you have a mechanical room, a small kitchenette, a common area, and 2 restroom facilities. There is also a conference room available, so a study room. And that is also a common facility among the tenants. So this is the ground floor plan. The ground floor interior plan is color-coded. So blue would be the owner's personal area for their residence and storage. Green is the tenant's common area. So again, there's another living area, 2 more bathrooms. There's the kitchen area with a large dining room attached to it. I'll take this opportunity to go into more of the information you requested from last meeting regarding compatibility and a few other questions. So you specifically asked us to look at the density of Shipley and how the proposal fit in with that existing density. So the average dwelling in Shipley is 1,383 square feet. And the average dwelling is located in a parcel that is approximately 1.85 acres in size. The school property is a lot larger than this, 8,000 square feet, 3.4 acres. So there's an equivalent of approximately 5.8 average-sized dwellings in the school building and 1.83 average-sized parcels on the school grounds. So if we're looking at assuming 2.5 people per residence in Shipley, and an equivalent number at the school based on the school size and the property size, we get some different numbers based on the ratio for the parcel size. So that would be 4.59 residents would be approximately the same size as the same amount of tenants, the equivalent ratio of residents to the average parcel size. And for the equivalent ratio of residents living in just that area, so the size of the school building, that would be much larger, 14.62. Again, the applicant has amended the original request from 14 units to 5 units. So that's a lot smaller than, would be the equivalent ratio of density. The camps will be living there, the applicant, Wanda, and her husband, so we could say 7 total residents, which would be in the range of densities that we found. Further regarding compatibility, we also looked at our C2C comprehensive plan and the future land use map. Again, Shipley is an unincorporated village. Those unincorporated villages in Story County, we have 3, are considered rural village areas on our C2C plan future land use map. These rural village areas are the only areas in the county that are considered to be compatible with the RM residential mixed overlay district, where multifamily dwellings would be permitted. So what I'm trying to say is a rezoning could be completed potentially if it met other standards to allow a multifamily dwelling on this parcel as well. It would be compatible with our future land use plan. Further, the proposal meets the principles for the rural village area to continue to promote improvements and reinvestments in these areas, as well as support private efforts for grant seeking or other ways of achieving redevelopment and revitalization in these areas. Secondly, you requested more information on the configuration and the definition of a multifamily dwelling. So, since staff selected the term multifamily dwelling to use in the staff report and the notice to describe what the use would be. There's a couple different definitions in our code. There's boarding house, there's lodging house, there's family home. These don't really fit what the configuration is. The definition of multifamily dwelling is a residence designed for or occupied by three or more families with separate housekeeping and cooking facilities for each. However, boarding and lodging house, that definition requires that meals are provided, which they're not. It also implies that there's short-term occupancy, which in this case, the applicant has stated the leases would be long-term, a year. A family home gets into an Iowa code chapter that relates to tenants that might have disabilities, so it wasn't fitting under that definition either. So while we selected to use the definition of multifamily dwelling in the staff report, the definition that we use doesn't really have an impact on the conditional use permit because the conditional use permit is pretty broad in what's allowed and permitted under this conditional use permit. It basically allows for any principal use in a district that is not otherwise permitted. So, given that the A1 Agricultural District limits the type of permitted dwellings to single family, whether we're using multiple dwelling, multifamily dwelling, another definition, it doesn't really matter because those aren't permitted uses and so therefore qualify to obtain this conditional use permit. There were also questions on the wording of the conditions using recommend language versus require language in some of the conditions. We reviewed these and found that they all used shall, require, that type of language. But if the board has a specific concern about a recommendation from another department, for instance, environmental health on the septic systems, they recommend it pumping and you'd like to have them require them to pump the system every so years, you could certainly do that. You do have the authority to add conditions or change conditions as you see fit. So getting into the septic question, again, the Environmental Health Department, in their comment on this proposal, said that the system was adequate for the originally proposed 14 tenants. They don't typically require pumping of the system. However, they did recommend pumping for maintenance and to protect the owner's investment in that septic system. The board expressed concern over that recommendation not being a requirement. Again, you could certainly, it's within your authority to make that a condition. Previous conditional use permits for the camp property, in fact, for a multifamily dwelling with 16 units, had two conditions related to the septic system. Those were on a biennial basis, an inspection of the septic system shall be conducted, and the results presented to the Story County Health and Planning and Zoning Departments for review, and if at any time the inspection dictates that the system is overtaxed, it may be determined that this criterion is no longer satisfied, and the conditional use permit subject to review by the Board of Adjustment. So those are just examples of what we previously had, but again, that was for a 16-unit multifamily dwelling, and we're looking at 5 here, and the system was determined to be adequate with the 14 proposed tenants. So it's greatly reduced in this case. Also, there were questions about affordable housing and if this was affordable housing that I wanted to clarify. The applicant's original application stated that it was their intent to provide reasonably priced housing for 14 college students. Based on the configuration of those being more dormitory style, we concluded that they might be more cost effective. There were some potential rent numbers thrown around, but neither staff nor the applicant ever indicated that this would be subsidized by the state or federal governments, that there would be an income limit on these units. Maybe cost effective would have been a more appropriate term, but this is not. Subsidized housing, public housing, not subsidized by the federal, state, government, anything like that. Just dormitory style that might be a little bit cheaper because of the configuration than a one-bedroom or even a studio apartment that you might see in Ames. So I'm going to go through some site photos now. This is looking at the school from Center Street, and I'm standing, when I took this photo, in that Center Street parking area. Looking northeast now along the driveway, there is a house to the northeast of the property. Now I'm looking southwest from the drive on the eastern side of the school onto that southern parking area. This is looking south from that parking area, and this is onto a different property, but that property is also owned by the applicant, so the adjacent parcel to the south. Now I'm looking south onto the school, from behind the school, north of the school, on the western tree line that goes along 595th. This is looking north behind the school. There was a condition that there were some appliances and other scrap on the parcel upon a site visit. We request that those be removed as a condition. So these are side-by-side photos I drove by today, and there are about three tires left. So I'm just trying to indicate that in these photos, that they have taken efforts to clean that site up. Now we're looking west at the drive and the northern parking area, or the proposed parking area. They haven't graveled this area yet, as required by a condition. This is the shared kitchen on the lower level. I tried to put together two photos here so you can see the sink area and the fridge and the cabinets. This is the dining area that's connected to the kitchen. This is the shared lounge on the lower level. This is the shared lounge on the first floor where the units will be located. This is the conference room / study room on the first floor. This is an example rental unit on the first floor. This is a rental unit where in the middle you can see they would be adjoined by a doorway. So you might have a bedroom on one side, a sitting area on the other. These are the two bathrooms on the first floor. They both have showers. So moving into our standards of approval. The first is compatibility. And compatibility asks the board to assess if the proposed use as constructed, arranged, and operated is compatible with the character of the zoning district and immediate vicinity and does not interfere with the development and use of adjacent property. So thinking about what this is asking us to look at. This is a residential use. Other parcels in Shipley are also in a residential use. We're not proposing an industrial use here that wouldn't be operated as compatible necessarily with other residential uses. The actual school is in place. It's been in place since 1916. It's not new construction. In fact, it's older than all but one of the dwellings in Shipley. So we're not going to be altering the character. It will be compatible with the character of the district. Again, thinking about zoning and our C2C plan as well, this is the rural village area, one of the only areas where if a rezoning were granted, this might be permitted. Again, there are other standards to get this property rezoned, but it could be compatible. It is compatible with the future land use plan. There was a previously granted CUP for the same use with 16 units in 2002. Again, we looked at the density of the surrounding area and concluded that the addition of 5 units in the property would be compatible. And the camps have agreed to remove any junk or scrap. They've made efforts to do so. There's just a few tires remaining on the property. Our next standard is transition. Again, no exterior additions are being made to the property, except for the regraveling of the north parking area. And it's a residential use. The other adjacent properties are in residential uses. Required setbacks will be met for other permitted uses in the A1 district, which is actually 50 feet from all property lines. And there are also several features in place to provide transition, including a row of trees planted along the north property line and the east property line. To the south of the school, there is that property owned by Wanda Camp that has a few trees on it but is not developed.
There are also trees along that south parking area in the Center Street right-of-way. And to the west, there is also a row of 12 trees providing some buffering. Another standard is traffic. We looked at traffic counts for this. So this little star is where Shipley is approximately. Here's 595th. So you can see north of Shipley on 595th, there's approximately 15 cars a day. But if you go up or over to 580th, there's significantly more traffic. But really, five cars a day isn't anticipated to five people making trips a day isn't anticipated to really impact this, to create congestion or other issues. If the intended audience is Iowa State students, it's likely that they would head west and not east through the village of Shipley. Our next standard is parking and loading. We have parking maximums in Story County to prevent excessive parking lots, excessively sized parking lots. So for a multifamily dwelling, two spaces are allowed per unit on site. There are eight on-site spaces. There are more off-site spaces, but we'll get to how we're dealing with those in a second on the next slide. But they've also provided adequate buffering for those parking areas with the addition of some grasses planted to the north of the parking area and some existing trees. The applicant has requested alternative compliance to allow parking in the Center Street right-of-way. Alternative compliance is a provision in our code that allows an applicant to submit a plan that doesn't comply with the code but better meets the intent of the code. We worked with the Story County engineer to determine if it would be okay to allow them to use this gravel area for parking along the Center Street right-of-way. Center Street is down here. You can see that there is gravel that kind of goes into what one would assume the property line is, but the property line is actually above this parking area. So it's kind of like an inset into the property that they're proposing to use. Staff feels that this meets an alternative compliance review criteria because it enhances pedestrian access. Because the main main entrance is on the front of the building. That's the entrance that residents would use to access the building. There is also a ramp here to access the building. So we feel it will enhance pedestrian access and convenience, and that meets our alternative compliance criteria. There are a couple conditions on their use of the parking area in the Center Street right-of-way. Those conditions are that parking is limited to 16 spaces, it's only for tenants, the applicant will maintain the area for snow, plowing, re-graveling, those sorts of things. And that if traffic were to increase to create unsafe conditions, they would have to move the parking on site. Signs and lighting is another standard. There is a condition recommended that there's a tenant-only parking sign placed on that Center Street right-of-way area to prevent it from becoming a public area. So that is the only sign or really lighting proposed. But directional signage is permitted without a permit. Any other signs or lighting would need to comply with our land development regulations. And finally, our final standard is environmental protection. The main points on this are, again, that we had the septic system reviewed by Environmental Health. And they were fine with it when there were 14 tenants proposed for this site. There are also requirements in our code to provide landscaping for parking areas, landscaping when there's impervious surfaces created that the applicant has complied with. They have also provided a statement that they have met best management practices for stormwater control. And really, historic preservation and adaptive reuse is a more sustainable alternative to new construction, and it won't create any undesirable or hazardous or nuisance conditions that a construction site might. So if you conclude that all of the standards of approval are met, you also must conclude that this proposal will not adequately, use a double negative here, that's hard to say. You must also conclude that the proposal, there's a strong probability the development will not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing in or working in adjoining or surrounding property. So regarding safety, health, and general welfare, we had the Nevada Fire Chief review the proposal and do a site visit with us. He created the list of fire code items that we are recommending and the Planning and Zoning Commission is recommending as conditions. The applicant has already begun work on a lot of these. The fire alarm system is now operational. The fire escape has been inspected and approved. We also have several conditions regarding the need to meet federal accessibility requirements if those were to become applicable. The next point of analysis is that the property will not, or the proposal will not impair an adequate supply of light or air to surrounding properties. Again, this is not a new development. It's been in place since 1916, and it meets all required setbacks for this conditional use permit, which would be 50 feet from all property lines. The third point of analysis is that it will not unduly increase congestion in roads, hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers. I know we already went over those traffic numbers, but again, now we're looking at five tenants potentially with several trips a day each. It's not anticipated that they would create congestion issues. The engineer raised no concerns. The engineer also reviewed the use of both drives onto the property and has no concerns about their use. Those drives will actually allow for a one-way drive through the property, which could maybe be safer than a two-way drive through the property. And we've already gone over the fire safety improvements. Another point of analysis is that it will not diminish or impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property. The assessor raised no concerns on review of this proposal. And finally, not be in accord with the intent or purpose of the land development regulations or cornerstone to capstone, our C2C comprehensive plan. In addition to being a rural village area, it's designated in the C2C plan as a rural residential area. There are several principles for this area that are met. One is to encourage clustering of residential sites. This would be clustering with the existing residential areas located in Shipley. Another principle is to ensure conflicts between the proposed development and ag or natural resources are minimized. Again, this is an existing building. We're not taking any ag out of production, building anything in a natural resource area. Another principle is that when a development is adjacent to ag uses, it provides adequate buffers. When there are several trees. Property owner to the north who has an land in agricultural use called to voice their support for this. Another principle is to mitigate and manage stormwater runoff, soil erosion, and wastewater discharge. And as previously stated, they have had the septic system removed and meet all of our landscaping and stormwater requirements. Again, it is also designated rural village area, and some applicable principles for that area are to continue to promote improvements and reinvestments and redevelopment. Here we have comments from the interagency review team. I believe we've gone over these from the environmental health, the engineer, and the assessor on the septic system, use of the drives, parking in Center Street, and property values. Comments from the public. We mailed notifications within a quarter mile for the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, for your previous July 19th meeting, and for this meeting. Those notices for this meeting went out on August 7th. Again, we had the owner of the adjacent agricultural property call in response to the notice to voice their support. And we also had the owner of the property and single-family dwelling to the east provide two written comments opposing the proposal. We forwarded you the second one, which we received today, and I've also provided you copies of both letters. The July 5th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, there were several public comments that I want to go over related to generally compatibility of this use. In response, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended an additional condition that Wanda Camp, the applicant, be a permanent resident of the property, and that if the property were sold and Wanda Camp no longer the owner, the conditional use permit would expire. So that would prevent and not having an on-site manager and also any transfers to other folks that might want to continue this use. After the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, two citizens did meet with staff and a Board of Supervisors member to express further concerns with the compatibility of this use with the area. And at the July 19th meeting, there were more comments regarding its compatibility. You responded to these comments by tabling the request and asking us to again look at and the applicant to look at reducing the number or other changes to make this more compatible with the village of Shipley. So our recommendation, and Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation, is for approval with conditions. There are several conditions. I'll go through them quickly. So those first two, and the first one specifically, were what the Planning and Zoning Commission put on, in addition to what staff recommended in response to public comments, and that is that the conditional use permit shall remain in effect as long as Wanda Camp is a permanent resident and owner of the property. The next one is that the Nevada Fire Department shall inspect the property annually, and the applicant shall make improvements as required by the Nevada Fire Department. Our third condition is in regards to the scrap that the applicant has been cleaning up. The fourth one is in regards to the need to add gravel to the northern parking area to make sure it's well-defined, clearly marked. The fifth condition has been met. It was in regards to the need to provide a statement on stormwater management. The sixth condition was that a maximum of 14 tenants be permitted. You could amend this condition to 5 if you wanted to through your motion. The seventh is that, and this one is those fire code items, they're all listed in your staff report, that the Nevada Fire Chief wanted improved prior to occupancy. So those were things such as fire escape being inspected, openings into the garage being sealed, those kinds of things, checking the locks and doors, having adequate fire signage and lighting, that kind of thing. We also want another inspection of the second of the, that doesn't apply anymore either because they're not using the second floor anymore. But we will want another inspection to ensure they comply with those fire code items that were required to be improved. The tenth condition is in regards to the alternative compliance request, and that is to allow parking in the Center Street right-of-way. It also includes the three conditions that the parking area is limited to tenants, that a sign stating this is posted, that the applicant will maintain that area, and that if traffic increases and it's no longer safe to use that area, they have to provide on-site parking. Finally, we have two conditions that are related to accessibility requirements. If they were to need to provide different accessibility improvements, we felt it was important to have these conditions that they take steps to determine if the building is in compliance with the ADA and Fair Housing Act requirements to provide reasonable modifications or accommodations if a tenant with a disability were to want to rent a unit. And so again, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended alternative 2, which is approval with the conditions that we just went over. Do you have any questions for staff?
Any questions for staff? Not? Anyone speaking for the applicant? Is it you out there, Mr. Holland?
Mr. McGill, yes. Ryan Holland from Davis Brown, the Ames office, 2605 North Ridge Parkway, on behalf of the applicant, Wanda Camp. Given that this is the second go-around, we won't belabor too many of these points. Just a couple of items from the last public hearing that I wanted to provide a couple of updates on. One, there was some concern expressed at the last public meeting that the amenities provided by the camps were not going to be sufficient to attract the type of tenants that the camps and the other neighbors would want. Just to update the board on that, the camps are working with two different internet service providers to try to get to determine what the best method to get internet to the building would be, whether it be through a satellite dish or through MediaCom underground cable. Those conversations are ongoing. I have expressed, and I think Wanda and Bill are perfectly aware, that if you're going to charge a given amount for rent, that your tenants are going to expect certain amenities. So it doesn't do them a whole lot of good to have this all get passed and then have nobody rent those things out anyway. So that's something that they are exploring. It is the nascent stages based upon, you know, the location of the building and all that sort of thing. Things to do with internet and technology, I won't pretend to be able to speak intelligently about. The second one is the rent, and numbers were sort of thrown out at the last public meeting. In discussing the matter with Wanda and Bill in the intervening time period, we are probably landing somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 per month based upon the site plan that you saw, the revised site plan. And that, again, has less to do with getting approval here than it does to do with just the business model. Some of you may be aware of the old schoolhouse out here on Highway 30, old Highway 30, people still call that, Lincoln Way running west, Grant Township. I think those are being rented for $700 per month. Not the same layout, certainly, as what Wanda and Bill would be advertising, but same sort of location, right? In between Ames and Nevada, probably 15-minute drive from campus. You're certainly in a rural setting. There are even fewer people around that building than there would be at the Shipley School building, so even less of a neighborhood type of setup. So given that as a, you know, an anecdotal comparison, I think $500 is business model-wise makes sense and would help to allay some of the fears that some of the neighbors had about the type of tenants that you'd be getting. You know, $500 per month, it's not $1 million per month, but given the type of amenities that are being provided, I don't think that you're going to be at risk of attracting folks that you might not want in the neighborhood. So just wanted to update on that. Again, that is going to be, that's not set in stone. It could be more, it could be less. A lot of that is going to depend upon business model. But the other thing to know is if the board passes the current proposal at five, with the expenses that Bill and Wanda are going to have, it's not as if they can drop the rent down to next to nothing. You know, I mean, they wouldn't be able to meet expenses to have five people rent, say, at $300 per month. They're going to need to have the rent at a sufficient amount, otherwise it doesn't make sense to continue to be in operation. So if there is fear that, yeah, well, you said 500, but might be 250 a month from now, I think there's, just from a business model perspective, that'd be very, very unlikely. And then the last comment I'll make before inviting questions is with regard to the first two conditions you saw, which was ownership and permanent residency, and I brought this up at the last public meeting as well. My understanding in communicating with planning is that if Wanda were to be the sole owner of a limited liability company which owned the building, that that would meet that condition. And staff does have some enforcement ability to determine whether Wanda continues to be the sole owner of that limited liability company, obviously just in continuing the enforcement of the CUP. Who owns the limited liability company is not public record. You can't look it up anywhere. You couldn't force someone to tell you unless you had some enforcement mechanism. My opinion is that staff does have that enforcement mechanism because it's a condition of the CUP. So Wanda being a single member owner of this LLC, in my mind, and I think in staff's mind, meets that condition. The point being, we want to control who owns the property. We don't want it to be granted and then sold off to somebody or given off to somebody who has no connection to the property. So if that is the condition and that's the interpretation of the condition, my client has no issue with it. If that is not the interpretation, we would object to inclusion of that condition. The second aspect of that is permanent residency. Again, that's a quasi-legal term. If by permanent residency, staff means it would be declared as her permanent residence, whether she is there for 8 months of the year or 2 months out of the year or 2 days out of the year, there would be no objection to that condition. If permanent resident is being used in the colloquial sense in that she's going to be there 365 days a year, then we would object to that condition as not bearing any reasonable resemblance to any concern that has been expressed by anybody through staff or at any of the public hearings. I did converse with my client regarding the need for an on-site manager, whether that condition attaches or not, and they had expressed the willingness to have somebody who would be on-site at least once per day, whether it is a paid-for manager or a family member, to check in on things, make sure everything is going okay. Again, it's their property. They have the most vested interest in making sure nothing is going wrong. I did have conversations with planning staff whether an on-site manager type of scenario where someone is there at least once per day would meet that condition. My understanding is that would meet the condition. So again, if that sort of on-site manager scenario would meet the condition and staff does have ongoing enforcement capabilities, then we would not object. If that is not the understanding that the board would have, then we would object to inclusion of that condition. Everything else that you see here for the conditions that have been attached are either completed or are underway or are ready to be commenced upon approval by the board. So other than those three items, I didn't have anything further unless there were questions from the board.
Question. We're always talking about college students living here. Is anybody else going to be able to move in?
Well, we have... That's a loaded question. We can't restrict... You know, under the Fair Housing Act, there are only certain restrictions that we can apply. The college student, that whole discussion is, that's the target audience. That doesn't mean that they would turn people away if they're not a college student. And again, obviously for the record, they're not going to turn people away. That would be a violation of the Fair Housing Act. But I think the college students make sense from the target audience perspective simply because you have in all honesty, you have a small pool of people who are going to want to live in that location with that layout. So if there are other people who would want that sort of setting, if they meet the what my client's criteria would be, meet the credit application criteria, you know, meet what a reasonable landlord would require of a prospective tenant, then sure, it's not going to be an absolute requirement that someone be a college student to be a tenant at the location.
Thank you.
Comments from the public? I would ask, and I failed to mention this at the beginning, as you approach the podium, just state your name, address, so we got it for the record.
I'm Wanda Camp. I live at 25922 595th Avenue. It's the old Shipley Schoolhouse, and it's been my residence since 2000. Shipley has a long history. The building, the schoolhouse was built 100 years ago. And it's graduated many students, and it's created great bonds between them. My late husband and I bought the schoolhouse knowing that it needed a lot of repairs. We both enjoyed fixing and cleaning and dreaming of what we could do with it. Our goal was to preserve this grand old building. In 2002, we were granted a conditional use permit. We could not comply with one of the conditions, so after the tenants that we had in there moved out, we dropped the permit. In 2011, after my family and friends helped me comply with that, with cleaning up the junkyard for the county's request, I reapplied and was granted a permit for a retreat center. I also at that time had to get a bed and breakfast license and a food service license from the county. I dropped this permit after Bill and I were married. Over the years I've been here in Shipley, I've opened my house to many different events. I've provided sleeping rooms, accommodating for breeding families, I've had family gatherings, I've had class reunions, I've had quilting for charity work. For 7 years, I had a coffee every Thursday morning. Most of these have been open to anybody who wanted to come. I've reapplied now for a conditional use permit for renting sleeping rooms out. My desire is to preserve the school as much as I can to the original design. The remodeling that was done in the late 70s blends itself well to sleeping rooms. These rooms are small, but combining two rooms with a pass-through door creates a large enough room for a bedroom and a sitting area. This unit is large enough for single persons to reside in, not a family. In addition to the sleeping unit, Bill and I are opening up a large portion of our home for them to use as their home. I think the board that had some questions about the compatible use, I think have all been addressed by the Board of Planning and Development. I would like to address some of the concerns from the surrounding neighbors. The outward of the appearance of the building will remain the same. The parking lot is still going to be there like it always has been. It's not going to be low housing, renting, or group homes that are subsidized by the county or by the government. We've not set a price at this time and will not know until we know what conditions are put forth. There are some concerns about the number of people that will live here, the type of persons, not enough bathrooms, the amount of people using the kitchens and the space that's not being adequate enough, the increase in traffic, the accidents due to farm machineries, dust on the road. These are some things that I really can't answer because a lot of them are what ifs. They're out of my control. Or they're to be answered by the people that would like to rent there. What I can answer is because of your concerns, we have reduced the amount to 5 units. We can't predict if this is going to work or not. We hope that it will work and work well. If there are any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Question
for? I have a question. What are you going to do with the second floor?
We don't know at this point.
Structurally, is it sound?
Structurally, it's sound. Cosmetically, not so good.
I guess the concern, I can see it happening, is as you generate income, will that income go towards redoing the second floor so you can add more people? And so I would assume that would take another permit to do that.
Yes, because if we approve it for 5, and they want to expand the number, yeah, I'd have to come back here at that time.
Yes, but at this point, we don't know if this is going to work, but if it does, we would like to come back for another conditional use or for an amended reuse.
The fire inspector for the city of Maine did review the first level and the second level, and some of his comments are
conditions. Okay, thank you, Jerry.
Are there laundry facilities at this building, or will there be?
At this point, no, there's not, and that's, we would make one, but the first year until we have an idea as how much water goes through to protect the mound system, we need to figure that out first before we can provide a laundry facility. If at all possible, we will.
And you mentioned, Amelia, that it's for a multifamily, it's separate housekeeping and cooking facilities, mm-hmm. right? And this doesn't meet that criteria.
There's
because it's shared.
Well, yes. And the other part of that is we had to pick a definition to let people know what this was.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And the definition for this conditional use permit, what I call it, doesn't really matter. That's just how it's written, the conditional use permit.
So then who would be responsible for maintaining and cleaning that shared kitchen area? Because I had a daughter in college in a dorm.
I understand.
Doesn't live in a dorm anymore.
I guess that's one of our rules that we have put down, that everybody works together to keep the common areas cleaned. I have talked to somebody about coming in and doing some cleaning on a regular basis. I think that all depends on what we get in and how they work with us and how we can work with them. And that's a what if.
Mm-hmm. So approximately how big are these, I guess, rooms? I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's like a dorm room. So how big are they? I mean, just rough estimate, like a big bedroom or
about 10 by 10.
10 by 10.
And then there would be two of them together.
Two rooms together, so it would be 10
right.
by 20.
Yes.
Right?
Well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
20 by 20, okay.
And then this unit is a lot bigger.
10 by 20.
Okay. So they vary, I suppose.
All right.
That's why we have common areas that they can use. That's why we opened up the downstairs. There's a small little kitchenette up there that you could wash some glasses or something like that. There's a microwave that you could pop popcorn.
But
the rest of their cooking would be downstairs in the big kitchen.
On the main floor or
on
the basement?
On the
main floor.
On the ground floor.
It's
okay.
The walkway between
the... Oh, by the gym. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And to clarify, the first floor, these are terms from the fire chief used.
Okay.
So it's at grade to the residence is. So it's
made for it.
Yeah.
I apologize. I wasn't at the July meeting, so
it's okay.
I'm playing catch up.
That's fine.
Okay. So I guess my other question maybe is to staff. Why are there 16 parking spots for 5 tenants?
So on site we have maximums. Off-site, it's that alternative compliance. It's a really existing area. 16 is based on our standard stall size. So that area is already graveled, and it's used as a parking space. It has been with previous conditional use permits, and I'm assuming with the use of the school as well.
Okay. I have one more question. Who can tell me how many tenants there are at the Lincoln Highway apartment building, what used to be a school? Is that North Grant? Is that what that school is called? Okay. So how many people
yes.
live there?
Four
units. So two bedroom units, aren't they? And they're paying $700 a month. And they have their own kitchens, and I'm assuming their own laundry. And okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Other comments, please.
Nancy Ryder, and I live at 105 Forest, Polk City, Iowa. And I just want to say a few things about the camps. Change can happen. It does all the time. It happened to me in 1959 when Shipley merged in with Nevada. I was a member of the Shipley community for over 17 years while attending Shipley School for 9, 4-H, and various Shipley community events held in the building. I still consider myself a Shipley person. I believe I can speak on behalf of the majority of the Shipley alumni that they are proud of the way the building looks, both inside and out. This was very evident when we celebrated the building's 100 years in 2016. We had more than 160 people show up for our celebration. Everyone was very pleased with the way the building looked and so very appreciative of the way that Wanda and Bill have kept it looking great all the time. When Ed and Wanda purchased the schoolhouse in 2000, it was badly in need of some tender, loving care. It was falling apart at a rapid speed. But tender, loving care is what they have given it, bringing it back to its proud and distinguished look. They have replaced all of the windows as well as new roofs on both buildings. They have put in 4 new thermal heat pumps and redid the septic system. That is a few of the big items that they have done. Ed passed away in 2009, and since that time, Wanda, family, and friends have cleaned the premises and kept it that way to the county's approval. This allowed Wanda to offer retreats for various groups looking to get out of the cities. I attended several of these. While each of us had our own sleeping room, we had 2 separate bathrooms on that main floor, and this was not a problem for 6 to 8 women spending 3 to 4 days together. Wanda started a coffee club in 2004. She opened the abandoned schoolhouse, her home, every Thursday for coffee and homemade cinnamon rolls. And I might add, it was a free will donation. She never put up a price list. That's the neighborly people that they are. A place for the newer people of the Shipley community could gather with former alumni, more current students that ended up attending Nevada schools, like myself, and many Nevada people that enjoyed having a place to come out and meet their friends for coffee. Had no connections to the Shipley community at that time. The open area that Wanda provided for these get-togethers was the original old kitchen, which I refer to as from the Shipley School, the lunchroom, which included 10 to 12 booths and 3 long tables down the middle of the room. More than half of the time when someone would show up, they always wanted a tour of the building. What memories they kept alive for us. Her kitchen where she fixed the rolls was my old home ec classroom. These are the areas that will be used for the new tenants as an open kitchen concept. They have rebuilt several areas of the building, returning them back to their original or close to their original design as possible. They have strived to keep the grounds clean and in its entirety as they found them when they purchased, without selling off areas for other use. I am very proud of Wanda and Bill for the amount of work and money resources that they have put back into the building to keep it looking great. This new endeavor that they are undertaking is a fantastic way of recycling the building and reaching out to people who like country living with a family feel while still having their own private areas, as well as a way of helping with cost maintaining this grand old building. It does cost a lot to maintain the size of a facility. Remember, it used to house 110 to 140 students daily. And I would like to add from the staff report, it said that the peak enrollment at the school was 19 pupils in 1937. They got that from the journal. That was actually 19 graduates in 1937. And that was the largest class that graduated from Shipley. So it wasn't the peak enrollment. the enrollments range anywhere from 110 to 140 students during a year's period. Wanda and Bill love this abandoned schoolhouse, their home, and with the amount of capital that it's taken to care for and fix for the building, they are not going to let someone come in and destroy the building. This is their home, their residence, and they will be living here. During the cooler months when they fly south, they will have a building manager available on a daily basis for their tenants. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Kelly Sheets, I live 25705 595th Avenue. It would be the place just north of the schoolhouse. Raising a young family there, and still, while I can admittedly say that I can appreciate that the number of occupants has gone down, I still have some concerns myself, because other than that, it looks like there's no change to the proposal. And so I guess my concern, to echo what Mr. Brun's question was how are we going to police that? And I honestly don't know. It's a legitimate question. Is somebody going to check up every year to see if there's only five people living there, or can they start adding people to it, or is it on the honor system?
The board could, if they wanted to, include a condition that we do annual site visits. Otherwise, the Planning and Development Department does do the enforcement of the conditional use permit, and one of the recommended conditions is that the fire chief does those annual inspections already.
I guess, in my opinion, compatibility is still an issue, and while I think it is more compatible, you're dropping a residential housing unit into a single-family rural setting where each of us own fairly large acreages in the surrounding area. And I know that Shipley was at one time a booming metropolis, I guess. But there are only six single-family homes in Shipley, and then just as many within a 1 mile radius. And so I guess I see it as a single-family rural area, not a multi-family place where we need to drop an apartment building into the middle of an agricultural area. To a point earlier, the previous landowner, I guess, had called in or written a letter in support of that landowner, I guess, from the last meeting. Was stated that landowner does live in Texas, and so I don't know as though that's a huge huge help. But, you know, I am one of the only ones here that was here at the previous meeting, and I hope that the couple of you that were here last time keep in mind the major opposition that was here last time. For those of you that weren't, myself and another resident that lives not too far away rounded up quite a few people that lived within, I think it was a 2 mile radius, and very few of them were in support of this. I admittedly have been out of town the last 3 weeks, and so I wasn't able to round up the troops again, so I guess I'm here speaking on behalf of all of them. Again, I would ask you to keep this from happening. I can't think that I have no ill will toward you. As a young Story County resident trying to raise a young family in a rural setting, I don't particularly want a bunch of residents living very close to me. Thank you.
Other comments?
I'm Shirley Cloyd. I live at 26198 Sand Hill Trail, and I viewed my opinions last time and would like to do so again. We are retired John Deere dealers, and we are retired WIC building dealers. We have lived in this neighborhood for 20 years. I have known Wanda for at least 15 years, and I can speak for her character, her honesty, integrity, and goodwill toward others. And I know that they will have excellent managing skills and will want to have protective measures put into place. I'm over in Shipley at least once a week because there are a group of ladies that get together and make mission quilts. And we give these to battered women's shelters and the Nevada Fire Department and Hope Ministries in the past. We don't see any objections to renters being in the schoolhouse. I also have four other names of people in the neighborhood who couldn't be here tonight, but I have gotten their permission to voice their views, and they don't have any objections to the schoolhouse being a rental property. One of them is Danny Harrison, who lives at the corner of 595 Avenue and 260th Street. He lives at 59278 260th Street. He couldn't be here because of an obligation at the state fair. But he's the first place on the southwest corner, diagonally from the schoolhouse. And at first he said, well, he just kind of wanted to stay neutral. But then he said, well, I don't have any objection, and I don't see why anyone can't have the right to make a living how they see fit. So I thought I would pass that on. Jim Fagan lives in the neighborhood at 57414 260th Street, and he lives on 40 acres, and he owns and operates Fagan Fireplace Center in Ames, Iowa. He couldn't be here because he said he would still be at work and he has to close at 5. But he said he didn't have any objection to Wanda having renters at the schoolhouse. Pam Gishinger lives at 26556 Sand Hill Trail. She's one of the ladies that we sew with over at the Shipley, not at the Shipley Schoolhouse, we have before, but now we're across the street at Wanda's daughter's, Cindy. And she does not have any objection to renters being at the schoolhouse. Betty Toot is another lady who is in real estate, and she lives at 23417 667th Avenue, Nevada. And she couldn't be here, and I said, well, would you mind if I voiced your opinions? And she said, well, of course not. And she doesn't have any objection to renters being in the schoolhouse. Another lady, Mary Moore, who comes over and would be around the schoolhouse on a continual basis, lives in Nevada, and she doesn't see any objection to renters being in the schoolhouse. And in the future, we will be close to that property, continuing to do our quilt work, and we don't see any problem in renters being there. I think if after working, I had three children of my own and rented out to college kids, and after that experience, I could see for myself that college kids aren't bad. They're good, is all I can say. And I would like you to take that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Madeline Jensen, 59296 U.S. Highway 30, Nevada. I agree with everything Shirley said. I don't know of a better citizen that we have that has worked with the community and had all the teachers, the principals, the superintendents that have been there later over the years since Wanda took it over for visitations. So gracious she is. Homemade rolls and everything Thursday for the community. It isn't limited. Anybody can come. And we have a full house. We also have potlucks there. Sometimes women will get up and they'll say, well, let's have a potluck. I think they're good, honest people, and they pay their taxes just like every one of you. And I don't think we have a say, really. She's such a good person. She wouldn't have anything but the best in that school. And that's about all I can say. They have put a lot of money in it. And you don't put that money in if you don't have a purpose for it. Thank you.
Hmm? What do you want, Warren? You want to go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, I've been going to school for a long time, and part of the thing was what started this is that we ended up getting together as a support group. Because Ed got sick, it ended up being where Thursday was a day that we'd get together and help. And it ended up being where we could have as many as 50 people show up. And it was something that we looked forward to because we lost different people along the way. Yeah, Stan Tweet, and I'm at 11307 650th Avenue in McCallsburg. And for me to go from McCallsburg down to Shipley to see those people, they were special people. Not only that, is that I would like to be able to say that I would like to put this gentleman's concerns to rest and partly say that, you know, he has a good neighbor. And if he were to go ahead and work with this neighbor, very seldom do you get a chance to go ahead and screen who it is that's going to live next to you. And that's exactly what Wanda's going to be doing, because she's going to be screening these people pretty close, because they're not only going to live in the neighborhood, they're going to live in her residence. And I think by doing that, she's going to know more about those people, and she's not going to take chances. And she's raised her own. She's raised some of her own grandkids in that house. They've been there. They've lived there. And she's. I can't say enough for her and Bill and the way that they're doing it. And I think if they were to get together as neighbors and understand each other, I think it would be a case where, if nothing else, he could maybe recommend people to come and stay there. And that way he would have an in on exactly what's going on. And he's a young enough guy, he probably still knows college kids, that he could go ahead and take and have them, come on over. I got a place for you to live in. It's right up the road from me. And I would think that that would be a great thing, because he would be he's right at that age where he could develop his own support system right around there. And that's kind of the way it is in the country. I live in the country, and I know the people around me better than when I lived in town. Just because it seems like you just get to know what cars go up and down the road. And it even concerns me now is the fact that I don't recognize every car that goes up and down the road like I used to. I've just been a part of the country. I've moved to the cities, and I don't like the cities because you just don't know people, and people don't have to be nice to you. And when you live in the country, go to a small country school, you basically go ahead and learn to get along. And I think that I hate to see that kind of splintering in a community where it's all rural. And I think when it comes down to where I want room around me, yeah, but I want to be able to make sure that I can use the safety feature of the country is that my neighbor's going to watch whether there's a car going in my driveway. In fact, I get when I'm out of town, I get a phone call from my neighbor saying whether somebody drove in and out of my place. And it ends up being nice. In fact, she'll go ahead and tell me whether the light's on or the light's off. It ends up being much, I mean, it can end up being what you make it. And I think probably in this case here, they can make it to where they're a close-knit group. And I think Wanda and Bill would be more than happy. They bring people in that they don't even know they would come in, and we'd have people making trips from all over the place just to come to our Thursday morning. And it's kind of hard to believe exactly what the atmosphere was like there. And I'll tell you, I never had any better cinnamon rolls and pecan rolls than I ever had there. You know, but yeah, and I'm wanting to go back, you know, so... but so I'm putting my request in. But at any rate, I think a little bit of work together, it would make a wonderful community. And there's just great people around. So thank you.
Thank you. Other comments?
I'm Mary Werrett. My residence is 10 Maple Avenue, number 14 in Nevada. And I'm one of the quilters that have been with Wanda and Bill and known them for about 5 years. And I believe any student or teacher who is lucky enough to rent a space at the Shipley School is getting a home away from their home with more amenities that is available for the price they will pay. The owners are very capable to determine which person and which student is serious and who is in for the short term. After meeting the parents, will help, as some parents will likely pay their bills for their rent. And I think they'll be very, very, they're very capable of who is going to be good and who's not so good in renting. Thank you.
Thank you. Others?
I'm Anita Gordon. I live at 59665 Center Street, Nevada. I'm the first house east of the schoolhouse. Our land borders each other, and I think Wanda and Bill are very good neighbors. They know what they're doing, and I think they'll have a very nice place fixed up for the college kids or whoever they decide to have in there, and we'll have all good neighbors. I'm not a bit worried about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? If not, I think we'll close this, and the board will deliberate. A few comments on my part. I think one question to staff. Could we approve this on, say, a one-year basis with the stipulation that, in essence, they see how it goes, if it goes accordingly, give the staff the ability to either extend or they have to bring it back here for an extension?
Yes, I think we just did that with the conditional use permit for the asphalt batch plant. You set an expiration date on it, and you could have a condition where it expires, but to be heard again by the Board of Adjustment, I suppose.
And my comments are I think the camps should be commended for trying to work, cutting the number back, that sort of thing, and I think they have very good intentions. Obviously, character is not a problem. But it's also the good intentions are sometimes a slippery slope. And I think our job is not only to try to protect zone, whatever you want to call it, all parties concerned. Um, I I would be in favor if we were to approve this, subject to the conditions that the zoning board has suggested, with the stipulation of the five, but only for a one-year term. Let them, you know, give them an opportunity to see how it, if it's going to work according to the way that you project. Maybe it'll work better than you said. I think that would be, in my mind, a compromise. But again, that's up to the board.
Mm-hmm. It'd be, if you did that, maybe criteria would be helpful. I don't know if that you would reassess it on. Would you reassess it on the same standards of approval, or are there other criteria?
I'm just talking off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I would think that the standards that have been put in place here, you know, the zoning board suggested, would be the same ones that need to be reviewed against when they come up. You know, Mr. Sheets says, you know, who's to determine if we have five? Who's to determine if that's correct? You know, just kind of.
Since we also have tenants in five rooms, one thing
we need
to look at is
sure. Something of that nature.
A question while we're talking about tenants there. Are we talking about two people per room? Like a couple of students?
I believe the applicant stated that it would be one per room, and at a previous meeting, if there was a family or a couple that wanted to rent rooms, that they would be in separate rooms, as you'd rent like four rooms if you had four people. But maybe the applicant, if that is wrong, wishes to speak to that.
The way that the schoolhouse has been remodeled, there's smaller rooms. I don't believe that the two rooms is enough space for two people. It's enough space for one person, and that's my intent, is to keep it to one person for that unit.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Even the large unit?
Yes. I just feel that if you want a larger unit, that's fine. That's what it is. One person.
What would you be able to do with a strange group of people?
In regards to the time frame, whatever, I guess, is there a time frame on this? This is just...
Well, it's subject to Wanda's ownership of the property of the building and of her maintaining residency.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you mean a time frame on the expiration of the permit?
Right.
Okay.
I think what he's saying is normally CUPs have an expiration time.
Right.
If they don't start the activity in this language.
Within 5 years, if substantial action has not been taken, or if substantial action has been taken and subsequently such work is discontinued for a period of 1 year. The conditional use has been established and is subsequently discontinued for a period of 1 year, the permit shall expire.
Yeah, I knew I had read 5 years somewhere, but I wasn't sure if that's...
Yeah,
but if they start it and stop it, then we have a year.
I guess my concern, speaking to what we've been talking about here, is, I'm not sure how you would... A year seems very short at my age. Very, very short. And then the other thing is, typically, when I know I have rental property myself, and the terms are oftentimes for a year, and I'm not sure what the time frame, if something doesn't rent until
Yeah, if I could interject, because that was a question at the last hearing, was the length of the leases. And if, Mr. McGill, if the board is going to consider a tentative expiration or revisit after a period of time, I would request that that be set for July 31st of 2019 at the soonest, simply because our leases are going to be on an August to July basis. And if we revisit this December 31st, 2018 or whatever the case might be, and there are tenants there and the use permit gets pulled for whatever reason, the applicant has all sorts of liability, as Mr. Brecky can attest to. And just because of the cycle that we want to be on the same rental cycle as the Ames area, so that they are August 1st to end of July leases, so that to give it an adequate period of time. Obviously, you saw the conditions that are attached, and while a lot of them have been complied with already, there's still a lot of work to be done, especially as it pertains to the compliance with the fire marshal had requested. So if that's something that the board is looking at, I would request end of July 2019 as the earliest date of review.
Can I add to that as well? So if there was a condition of annual site visits and review that staff had to complete, then if they weren't meeting a condition of the conditional use permit or weren't meeting the request of the conditional use permit, we would bring it back to you for a rehearing at that point. That might be another option. Just to clarify how that condition would work versus the expiration. So if they weren't.
So in other words, we could have a review during the period of time.
So you could have us review it, and if something weren't met, we could bring it back to you, or you could just say you were going to review it again in a year, it expires. I guess those are two different ways of right.
Right, because I know we've got several out there that you review annually, anything from the sheriff's shooting range. I guess I'm just trying to get something to review. Things are going the way that they're projected. Mm-hmm. I'd be willing to support a motion of that nature. I would support a motion to that measure. If I understand it the way you're conveying it to me, it would be that it would go assess what's going on annually, and if there are no red flags, then it just continues until the following year. Or would we get a report regardless?
You could set a date for us to do that inspection within the year,
right, and you could include we send you a report. That would be part of the condition.
A comment I would make about reviewing the project. The gentleman said 31 July, but that might be the time you want to pull it, so you might want to do the inspection prior to that date.
Well, we could probably set it up so that they do the inspection, and if it's not meeting according to the requirement, then they bring it back to us.
Okay.
I would agree with Mr. Holland's comments on 2019. I can see that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get at some vehicle that we can make sure, like I said, that it's presented, this is the way it's working, there's no problems going on. I think that's part of our responsibility. So do we have any idea when if we were to approve it with, 12 conditions or whatever, that they would actually be met and so it could be available for rent? Is that like 2 weeks out or 3 months out?
That's a good question. I know a lot of the fire
improvements have been made. They need to have a re-inspection though when they're completed with those. The other ones would be like re-graveling of the north parking area would be something that would need to be done. Removing those three tires.
At first, he's planning on doing this inspection to the fire
So it sounds like it could be fairly short order if that's all that's on.
The only other things I'm thinking of would be the placement of the tenant-only parking sign and any ADA parking signage.
But, Mr. Bricky, again, I'm sorry to interject. Those would all be the conditions being met, which can be and are possible to be reviewed at any time by anybody, whether the board sets a review date or not. What it sounds like what Mr. McGill is talking about is the plan going, is the project going according to plan, not have the conditions been met. That would obviously, that's a baseline.
The conditions have to be met before the CUP can be granted. So in other words, the staff has to make sure that these conditions are met, including the ones with the fire chief, before they can even actually issue the permit. Once those are issued, then they can issue the permit.
So I guess what my response to Mr. Gregg would be, you know, 6 to 8 weeks in terms of having conditions met, in terms of saying, is it rent ready, is a different question from saying, have the conditions all been met? And given the fact that we're August 16, in terms of when you get your first tenants in, as you know, is anybody's guess, especially since we're trying to be on an August to July rental, so that if someone came through in October, we would still terminate their lease. The lease term would end in July, so we're not going to have mixed-match rental periods. So it might be December or the start of the second term before you have actual influx of tenants.
To make this so complicated, what did you do with school there on Old Bird, North Grant School? What's the conditions you gave them? These people are entitled to that too, I think. It's so similar.
Yeah, that would be more sad.
I looked at it.
I would propose, and I'm just scribbling down here, benefit of the, and I, being chair, I cannot make a motion, but I propose granting of the CUP as per conditions placed on it by the board, the Planning and Zoning Board, for a term of 36 months with an annual review by the staff presented to Board of Adjustment with the date beginning at the issuance of the CUP. So in other words, the day that the CUP is issued, and you met all of those criteria, 36 months term of the CUP with an annual review by our staff, which will be presented to us. So in other words, if there are any violations, it's going to have to come back to this board. That will give you an opportunity to get it up, see if this is going to work according to Hoyle. Go from there.
So my question then to you would be, why the 36? If, why not just the annual review? I mean, I'm not sure what that...
Well, the reason that I granted 36 is because when you get into these situations, my work is... Now, you've got a very good point from the standpoint. You get tenants in there, and if we look at this, we give it a period of time. If you get tenants in there 1 year, you know, it's very difficult to make adjustments. If they go out there and find out that there's something not correct, we'll bring it back here. We can pull the CUP, but it also gives them an issue. I mean, I can shorten it up. I'm just making that suggestion.
So what happens after 36 months?
So you meet those ways that come back in during the
after 3 years.
That would be my vision. But that time
I think 36 months would be the ideal thing, because you see how we all have to give up our jobs and our work and everything. They're such honest people. I don't think if they're going to live in that building with them, I don't know why you want to put them through all this again. That's my
opinion. The other thing is if there are problems with it, Mr. Sheets, that would give you and you know, your supporters an opportunity to voice their concerns at that time. They may find out that it works. You may also find out that the 14 may be able to work. You know, I think this is somewhat of an experiment from both sides. Again, that's just a proposal. You guys can take the amendment or make the motion. I can't as the chair.
I can help you out there.
We're just going to give it to you to read.
Yeah.
Got it.
Mr. McGill, if I could just clarify what Wanda had a question about the statement of reapplication. Obviously, that's slightly different than a review, just due to the burden of persuasion that is required by the zoning ordinance. So would there be an entire reapplication process along with the application and fee and back through the zoning commission and then to the Board of Adjustment, or just come directly in front of the Board of Adjustment to review compatibility and the other standards?
Staff suggestions?
So I guess with the second option, it wouldn't expire unless at that hearing you concluded that one of those standards weren't met. But the first option would expire, and then they'd have to essentially with the burden of proof show again, hey, we need these.
The 3 years is probably a good compromise, you know, shows that they're listening to both sides, gives them an opportunity to show that the project can work. I think we can be flexible on the submittal part of it, but I complete application and fee. That's part of it.
But if the intent is to have it expire and have a complete reapplication fee and a planning and zoning commission fee, then yes, the motion to have an expiration at 36 months would be appropriate.
We can't hear.
Sorry. If the intent is to have them go through the entire process again at the end of 36 months, then the expiration would be appropriate. But if the intent is just for a rehearing to review the standards of approval, that would be the condition.
You could assess every year, each year, mm-hmm. That third year, before you make a decision on whether or not it would cease to continue. Mm-hmm.
But we could also do that at year two, year one, year four, if we don't have the best hands.
Yes.
So because if we get an annual report back saying all is well and we're not hearing negative feedback from the community, then okay, awesome. See, you know, let's see what happens in the next year.
And you can set up a 3 year a new application that should
cease. Right. Or at the third year, if you just want to have a public hearing in addition to the annual review, that's another option. So if that's the intent for folks to come and voice from the community.
Well, I think if we have an annual review, the only thing is if we just have a review, I'm not sure all the parties involved are notified completely, just that there's a review.
Right.
That's why I think at the end of 36 months, we ought to have it expire. Take a good close look at this due to the feedback that we've gotten. That's my opinion.
That would be two reviews or three?
Just two. Well, it would be really two. First year, second year, then third year's expiration. And I think we probably have the authority after two if we want to extend it at that time, the end of review. Could we do that?
You make that part of the condition.
Or it would be a modification.
At this point in time, I think the motion, I'd like to see the standards. So we
agree.
Is there a motion on the floor? Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call vote.
Yeah,
what do you have?
Okay, I have that that the CUP would be granted with conditions as recommended by staff for the term of 36 months with an annual review completed by staff and presented to the Board of Adjustment yearly, but where I got lost was the 3 year. So
okay, granting a, the way I wrote it was granting the CUP 07-17 for a term of 36 months with an annual review by staff beginning at the issuance of the CUP date. Granting the CUP, adding also that it is subject to the recommendations of the Planning and Zoning Board. Correct. So, are we concerned about if 3 years were passed July, I mean, you know, we're past August 1st, so then would they be able to sign tenants? I mean, is that going to be a, I mean, do we have to somehow sort that through? Because I could see signed leases right before the third year shows up, and then...
Mr. Brecky, if the 36 months is the term, I'm confident that we'd be able to work with staff and with the board on any short-term modifications that would need to be met in terms of the review date, if 36 months is the term.
That's one thing. They do have the right to come back and review, request a modification, anytime throughout the three-year period. So do you have that motion?
No. Please repeat it just in all.
Granting of CUP 07-17 subject to recommendations of the Board of Adjustment, or excuse me, subject to the recommendations of the Planning and Zoning Board for a term of 36 months with an annual review by staff beginning at the issuance of the CUP. I think there's one other stipulation we need to put in there. If I remember right, the Planning and Zoning Board, didn't it say 14 and it should say 5? So that needs to be amended also.
I'll say.
So I did. Yeah, you made the motion. She seconded it.
I was referring to the 5 versus
4. We should amend the motion so that in the requirements by the Planning and Zoning Board that it's 5 instead of 14. How do you have it?
Yes.
All right.
Questions before we go to vote? Roll call vote.
McGill.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
Bruns.
Aye. There you go, guys.
Thank you. Okay.
Other matters that need to come before the board this
evening? I don't have anything major other than to let you know that planning staff is working on some process ordinances for variances, conditional use permits, subdivisions, the process that we go through to review applications, different boards and bodies that we're working with. And so our plan is to do like a conceptual review on that, to sit down with the other departments of the building and then get something to the Planning and Zoning Commission in September. And then it's an ordinance, so it would require board supervisors' action. And then we're also working on updating our stormwater drainage erosion control ordinance. We've got some provisions right now in our general regulations. They're somewhat vague, so we're trying to put some more teeth to it, give applicants some more clarity as far as, you know, what information they need to submit, more analysis that they would need to provide that would need to be reviewed, try to measure like pre and post conditions. And again, that's something that's going to be going through our review cycle, conceptual review, Planning and Zoning Commission, and ultimately the board and supervisor. But just wanted to let you know that we're working on this ordinance and we're trying to improve some things.
Okay. So,
and then with the C2C plan, there's a lot of different things that we need to do with regard to updates with this plan. So, very, very busy now. And you probably saw Haley here.
Mm-hmm.
She was very interested in this case that she worked on. So.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
So that's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any comments?
Do we have any update on the Wyatt's case?
They, it hasn't even gone to court yet. It keeps getting bumped. And I think the hearing has been postponed. They had several attorneys representing them.
Okay.